Hey, and welcome back to another episode of Subscription Radio. Today I have my friend Mikko Rikola, the chief evangelist of Woolman, which is one of the biggest and top Shopify Plus design and development agencies in Europe. And today we're really excited. It's going back to like the funny story. Well, actually, before I get into the story, I'll say they work with brands like Mars Pet Food, Daniel Wellington, and then H&M. What I was jumping into is what's funny is the way that you and I first met, which was we were both at Shop Talk. I think we were exchanging messages on like a post in LinkedIn. And I'm not joking, like 5 or 8 minutes later, you happened to walk past me and stopped me while we were walking. And it was like one of those weird moments. We'd never met in person. I think we maybe had only exchanged a couple words on like LinkedIn. But the fact that we just happened to pass each other right then and then you recognized me was an amazing serendipitous moment. And so here we are, fast forward a few months, and it's nice to be seeing you again. I don't know if you had a different experience of how that series of events went down, but that was my recollection.
No worries. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me. And yeah, Vegas is always Vegas, so full of surprises.
Amen. Well, one of the things, and part of the reasons I was excited about having you on the pod was, first off, obviously, you're already self-described as hardcore D2C. Although I imagine a lot of people in D2C do describe themselves as hardcore. I'm pretty hardcore. but what I also love is like you talk to so many brands, both between like your podcast as well as just your role at Woolman. I'm curious to hear, what are the sort of biggest things that are coming up today? I think before we start recording, you were talking about AI, which I don't think is going to be surprising to anyone. But part of what you were saying was like there are actual ways that you're already seeing and predict that AI is going to change the way that stores convert customers. I know discoverability was a big one around like product discoverability. And then just what I had asked you was like, are there specific examples of how you see AI being integrated, like actually used in a meaningful way by brands and then companies like yours where you're servicing brands? I don't know if any of those things, if there's like a jumping off spot that you want to go to, but I'd love to get into that.
I love it. Let's begin. So I've helped 200 plus brands past 5.5 years. And what I see happening now on the market is that D2C is here to stay. So D2C isn't dead. And there are lots of these new brands that are up and coming. And then there are these like household brands that are now willing to invest in D2C, mainly due to data. They want to understand the end consumer better. They want to be more in that active conversation. And the biggest ones are like Fortune 500 level. We are working with multiple of those as well. And what I've noticed like lately is that e-commerce has been evolving a lot. It's mainly due to what's been happening with the AI development, but also due to the fact that during the pandemic, everything was easy in certain categories, in certain CPG categories. So if you were selling ladies' workout wear, you were in heaven. Mm-hmm. So you just happened to be like super lucky. And now you're not lucky anymore. So you have to play hard and understand the market dynamics. And what we see is that quite many brands are having issues with excess stock. They need to move the goods. They need to understand how to build the actual customer relationship in a situation where there is lots of demand also outside of e-commerce. So now it's a new and different battlefield and you need to win there. And what we've noticed is that my sort of like presumption would be that the way you search in e-commerce will drastically change this year, whether it's a D2C brand or whether it's a retailer selling online, that these typical old school search boxes are about to change heavily. And it's more going to that kind of like transactional one-to-one discussion where you are asking about the goods and then you get like a semantic website, meaning that it's actually a dynamic site where the recommendations are based on those product descriptions and data. So it's more of going to the direction that every single user sees a different storefront instead of the bulk that we have been used to, I don't know, past 25 to 20 years. So major changes up ahead. And I think it's interesting that some brands are already there exploring that. And if you're on Shopify, you are in a comfortable spot thanks to the themes and the flexibility these team 2.0s give. But I also feel that it's a interesting time because it might change the market dynamics. And the ones that are like exploring it and absolutely nailing it, they will win market share. And then Sean will just wait and see. I feel that that's not the strategy to win in this kind of an environment.
It's interesting because I want to hone in on one of the things you said, which the example you gave me earlier was this we'll call it like the customer journey of you go in, you look at a product list, and then you're like, all right, now I want to isolate by like price or something like that. And so you're basically what you would typically do, traditionally do, is go into like the product page or product list page and then enable some filters, right? And then eventually you would find things that fall within a certain category, and then you'd start clicking on the products that you're interested in. The world that you described, which I hadn't thought about this in the context of like how it would affect store search, but like it makes complete sense, which is rather than someone navigating to like the product page and doing all that, they literally would just type into a chatbot saying, I'm looking for products that are less than $5. Maybe, I think you actually had a good specific example because it was more than just the price. You were like, I have $5 and blah, 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 blah. And then it like spits out a product. Is that already being done, or is that something that you're expecting to see? Can you talk a little bit around like, how do you see that changing? What are you already seeing and hearing from brands?
So I don't know if you're aware of Shopify Shop app available on mobile phones, and that has actually been somewhat on the first wave. So they released a feature where you can have this discussion with the chatbot. So they utilized ChatGPT there. And the first weeks when it was live, it wasn't working that well. Harley kept pushing it like crazy that this will be the next big thing. And he was actually right. Just wasn't quite there. But now it's working better and better all the time. So it's what it does is it's like taking all Shopify stores from the planet, and then it's trying to find the good that you are describing or what you are wishing to have. And then it double checks that does it ship to that location and is the price range correct and so on. So they are sort of like building a tiny Amazon there that is growing all the time. That actually stopped some of our customers, and they were asking that, can we have the same? Could this happen in my Shopify store? And now I know that there are like few vendors who are pushing it, and some first like beta publications are already live where you can have this kind of a transactional discussion with the chatbot or whatever you call it in the store. And there you can define that what you are looking for, and automatically then the landing page the store creates has the best possible items. And then if you type something that, no, it was not, I didn't like that salty, or I want to have better snacks, or I want to have only triple packs or whatever, then it starts to like play the game around, and it continues as long as you want to have the discussion. But what it ultimately tries to do is that it tries to make sure that it provides the best possible options that are in stock in that store. And I see that it's valuable if you are running with hundreds of SKUs or more. For those brands that have the five products, then it doesn't make much sense. But if you have more selection, then definitely we are heading to that direction.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's interesting that you first saw it at the aggregate level, Shop App. Admittedly, I use Shop App only for tracking packages across stores, because I think that to me is like functionally the most valuable piece, because you can connect to Amazon, you can do whatever. But I assume you read like Watson Weekly. I love his...
I do, Rick Escape, great.
Yeah, I love Rick. And I love his like analyses. But he just posted this, or published, I think it was yesterday or the day before, this like massive sort of analysis of where Shopify currently is, and like we'll call it like did like a SWOT analysis of like strength, weaknesses. And the Shop App was one of those sleepers where Shopify has been talking about it for a long time. And this next generation of the company, the Shop App as a consumer product is really going to be important. And you know, the jury's obviously out to what extent it can be useful, because I think for most of us, it really is just a package tracking product. But hearing that you were even saying like, yeah, the discoverability and like sort of putting into the AI, the chatbot there is really interesting. Like I've been getting product recommendations even within ChatGPT itself, which is weird. Not products necessarily, but like services, sites. I would imagine there's a very obvious use case where you'll start getting kicked to a very specific product page on a store, not even when you're on the store, but when it originates wherever that original query was, which was whether it's at Bing or Google or in ChatGPT itself or some product that's using it. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And definitely, I feel that we are getting to that direction overall. And then there are like brands that are already doing something related. Like in the States, there is Feastables that has been doing this like gamification a lot. Mm-hmm. And these youngsters love to answer those questions that, is this what you're looking for? Is this? And sort of like to create lots of context that is somehow related to the product that you might be selling like healthy chocolate bars, but then you're actually like very much doing that with content marketing and data gathering, and all of that is sort of like mixed into one. And I feel that this is also a direction where we are going with most brands. And that's actually interesting because quite many brands are not quite sure why they are in D2C. They quite don't know. Someone told me that let's go D2C, or it was a great idea during the pandemic that let's go D2C. But what are you actually looking for there is something that is unsure. And what I see is that if, especially if we are talking about mid-market or enterprises, some are even afraid that they are so close to the customer that you could actually like talk directly with the customer or get their feedback. So that's like a frightening. And that's at least something that we see in a lot in Europe, which then means that they need that guidance that what's in it for me? What should I do next? Where should I focus? And so on.
That's interesting. You guys in particular are focused on the enterprise market, right? So we're talking about companies that are doing hundreds, if not billions of dollars. And where D2C was introduced later into the life of the business versus for a lot of mid-market and some enterprise brands, like their original origin was D2C. And then the jump for them was omnichannel, right? Selling wholesale, B2B,
yep.
Selling through like retail. So that's interesting that D2C, that you've seen that, I guess, firsthand. Like, are there, besides just the, I guess, during COVID, recognizing that they needed to add it as a channel because people were not going to stores, is there any clarity that you have seen brands arrive at, or any sort of, how are they talking about today? And like, what has that evolution been like? Or are they just as blind today about D2C? Sounds like part of it's fear of talking to customers. Like, we've never had to do this before, besides Super Bowl ads.
It's definitely going to the right direction within many. It typically needs the situation that you have built a team that is sort of like accountable for the operation. And then that you will have like clear goals and understand that, as example, if you're going for growth, how to build the growth in what markets, what products, and that it's not something that you were sort of like forced to do, but it's something that you absolutely want to do and you want to understand and learn. And most important, that you truly want to invest in D2C. So I was asking from our customers in many cases that is D2C just a necessary evil, or is it a marketing channel for you, or is it actually a business line? And more the response seems to be that it's a business line and it will be our top performing business line. So there's definitely lots going on in their thoughts because now they are like more focused on that. So it's D2C is a serious business from my perspective. After being a D2C merchant twice and then helping 200 plus brands, in most cases, it requires even more investments than traditional business lines. But if you then get it like really well going, then it might be tremendous. You can scale it fast. You can expand to new markets. You can launch products. You can do flash sales, whatever, limited releases and all of that. And you can get like instant feedback from the market. So that's why I love cases like Glossier, Chubbies, and other traditional D2C players who were like brave enough to do that. And now I'm seeing that many, even these like more enterprise level players are going there. We actually launched one thing just like last night with a very enterprise level player being this, I would say, agile and testing a new concept. So they are selling a product that isn't yet even in stock.
Okay.
So cool. It's crazy for them, but for native D2C brands, it's like,
it's a Tuesday.
It's like another day at the office. Yeah. It's like, but I feel that there's definitely like tons what enterprise level brands can learn from these digitally native vertical ones. And it's been a pleasure to sort of like teach, help them to succeed and understand how flexible you can be online with Shopify.
I'm curious with, when you're talking and you're exploring as a company or as an agency, the different applications of AI, for example, are you building these tools in-house? Are you looking for off-the-shelf tools? Is it a combination? And like, how are you navigating that decision-making process and like what you even recommend to a brand? Because I'm sure they are coming to you basically with a, we want to do AI. They probably have no idea how or like even how to apply it. They're just kind of saying, coming to you saying, we just want AI incorporated into something.
Yeah.
So what are you guys playing with and how are you approaching all that?
There are typically like two work streams. Number one is that we have our own data management platform called Ellis, BBB Ellis IS.
On your head.
It's something that we have built. Yep, exactly here. You can find it. So it's built as our customers had needs with data. And actually, we have some AI applications there built in. It's typically what it has to do with it is more like product data, customer data, and all of that. In typical setup, you have like multiple Shopify Plus stores, multiple apps, and you have tons of data here and there everywhere. So now we have one place where you can play around with the data. And you can use AI as example with sales forecasting, returns forecasting, those basic things. Or as example, helping to make sure that you populate better audiences. So you do more advanced audiences that you are possible to do, as example, on Klaviyo or your basic segmentation tool. So those are, like, I would say, easy used cases for very, very basic AI things. Plus, we have there like a possibility that it's also given you instructions on what to do. So there's this kind of like AI-based assistant saying that, hey, increase Facebook spend, or you are soon out of stock, or whatever, that sort of things, which we feel that are helping the merchant and the e-commerce team to focus on the right matters. Because we see that quite many of our customers are still running with very narrow teams, and they are rather frugal when it comes to investing in the team. So then if we can help them with the data, then hopefully they are in the right direction. And then second being is that if you really want to like utilize data, in that sense, like Shopify's ecosystem is great. We have some great partners who are already like exploring AI, as example, Crossing Minds in the recommendations. Really want to shout out those guys. They have been one of the first ones who have implemented these kind of things. Well, very positive feedback for that. And then there are now like few others who are definitely going there. So now if you use the, or ask the top partners on in the ecosystem, such as Klaviyo or Yotpo, are you doing anything with AI? Then they're like, no, yeah, AI is coming. And it will be definitely interesting summer to see what they can release. Plus, I feel that there is definitely room for new players on the market. So as we are creating private apps as a company as well, I think AI-based solutions are the ones that are trending heavily. We are actually building multiple sets for our commercial partners as well.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see which things outlive the hype.
Yep.
Because I think there's a lot of ideas that are great in theory. And I've certainly experienced this a lot, because I've gone down the rabbit hole of trying to generate podcast show notes. And I literally tried probably 15 to 20 products that range between like coming up with the show notes to like trying to like extract clips that were like useful that you could share on like socials. And by and large, they really sucked. They were not very good. And, you know, even the best ones, they were valuable, but like it was very hit or miss. And I found that oftentimes what would happen is like I would do it to like three episodes. Like I'd get like, we'll call it like the best seven tools for show notes. I would put in the same three episodes in all of the tools and then compare what they were generated. And one tool would be better at one episode. Another tool would be better at another episode. But none of them were consistently really good. And I feel like, I mean, what's amazing as an entrepreneur right now is there's just this like top of mind. I will try and I'm searching for AI tools that actually make improvements. But, you know, once you've, so people are searching for solutions, which makes discoverability relatively easy. But then the things that are actually sticky, that to me is where I'm struggling. I don't know. Are there any things that you've seen that have actually stuck for you?
Yeah, well, definitely what we talk a lot with our customers is that they want to automize content creation. They have been using different type of AI tools. Some are decent, some are really bad, or somewhere in between. And I absolutely understand the idea that you want to sort of like automize the content and product descriptions. And soon you want to automize the product images and videos and pretty much all the visual content that you see on site, that how to make sure that AI would create that. I think it's not quite there yet. We are definitely going to that direction, but the use cases, the examples have been not that great. So you still like need human beings to make sure that they will control sort of like the content and make sure that it's going to the right direction. So that's something that at least we've experienced. But Ben, what about then like subscriptions and AI, your favorite combo? How do you feel about that?
I think it depends on how AI is applied. I think that the biggest problem for consumers is replenishment cadence. So much of that is not just about predictive analytics. So much of that's about what's happening in your life in real time. I think AI could probably help with pieces of that. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, some of it's just chaos, right? Where you happen to make a last minute trip. AI can't predict that unless the AI is monitoring your calendar. And then it says, actually, you're going to be out of town. All right. I'm talking out loud. So that is an interesting one where you basically, around replenishment, it's looking at your calendar and seeing like, are you traveling? The two things that would stand out to me are, where am I traveling to? And can the product be shipped there? If that even makes sense. Or letting me know in advance of going on that trip, hey, it looks like you're going to be out of town. Do you want it like shipped early or do you want to buy more right now so that you have enough when you're traveling? That is interesting. What about you? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It definitely is going to that direction. What then will happen by the end of the day? Let's see. I think like it would be ultimately very important to understand why and how customers behave in a certain way. And if AI can help with that, then it'll probably be helpful. I'm looking mainly at lower like CPG category customers who try to understand the behavior, all the patterns.
That's a good one.
And all of that part. So if it can help there, then definitely that would be super interesting. Overall, where I see like lots of benefit is that actually you're gathering tons of data in e-commerce, especially if you're selling D2C with Shopify and you have like the top apps there. How to really like utilize all of this massive amount of data. It's much more than just the name, the address, and the bill. So how you could sort of like use that and as example on site that push for some subscriptions to understand how to like the merchandising part. I think that that's not, we haven't seen all of that. And I think that can be very heavily linked with the subscription end as well.
I mean, that's interesting. And I hear what you're saying. I think one idea you just gave me too is, I don't know if this actually requires AI, but identifying people who buy repeatedly and then suggesting a cadence based off of that. I mean, but that's something that like internally we've talked about for a very long time. Like that doesn't require AI, but I think AI possibly could do it better than a lot of your own, call it like static if then else statements. Like AI, that's interesting. Like how can you predict based off of past behavior? You know, you can also apply it to upsells and cross sells. But again, I think it's one of those examples where AI might be overkill. It's great for marketing, but like there are certain situations where it doesn't really require AI, but you could apply it.
Yep, fully agreed.
Are there any ways that you personally are using AI to like improve your own workflow?
Well, at least like it does help my content creation in some cases. And then what I love is that if you have tons of text and you don't have time to read it, then sort of like recap those and take the bullets out of those. That's super
right.
Easy and helpful. But it's mainly about, at least for me, it's the text. Or in some cases that if I would have a case where I would have like tons of data and I would need to understand that what's like the most important points here, then I can use that AI for that. I've even used it for some like programming. I'm a terrible programmer. I know HTML, but nothing much more. So it's actually fixed tiny problems for me here and there. I don't know if the code quality is there. It must be horrible, but it's done the trick. So I do enjoy those small things here and there.
No, that's cool. I've used it for similar things and I am a programmer and I'm often like, we had an issue where I was like, I need to find a way to optimize this MySQL query or the SQL query.
Yeah.
And it did a really good job and explained to me like even things on the database side, which I've never quite understood whether it was around, it was much more like on the DevOps component, like the actual, like if you were to study databases, I had it like analyze and explain query for me where it explained to me everything that the database was doing. And I was like, man, this is the first time, because otherwise you'd have to like Google a bunch of tutorials around every single result in that was returned by the database. And in this case, I was able to just like paste the entire explain output. Then it explained to me line by line what each part meant. So that makes complete sense. Are there, of the tools you're using, are you using ChatGPT for most of this? Or are there specific AI tools that you're using?
Well, I've tried dozens. I've tried that one. Then there's copy.ai and a few others. To be honest, I haven't found my personal favorite yet. So I keep searching. Let's see if I can come up with one that actually fits me. But overall, I like playing around with them. I think it's nice and trying to find out ways how I could really make those like work for me. What about yourself?
Yeah, I have like an entire bookmarks tab of all the AI tools I've used, in part because it's like hard to keep up with them. And going back to like the gold rush, I've had to like sign up for probably like 15 subscriptions to these products. And like, I'm keeping track of them all, which is ironic because I know they're subscriptions, which again goes back to part of the problems with subscriptions. They're easy to miss. You know, a few of the ones that really stood out to me, one's called Pod Squeeze, which is of the show notes generators I've found is the best one. As you mentioned, still requires some human touch, but I'd say it's like better than all the ones I've tried. And it gets stuff like 85 to 90% there. I have an entire site that just shows the most recent products that are coming out in AI. It's a bit of a shotgun approach where it's literally just tons and tons of crap.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because it's a very vast network of tools that I just like go through and use. WordTune, I think, is another one that it auto summarizes articles that I'm reading. Or no, actually, I think WordTune auto summarizes YouTube videos. And then I can go in and it'll also extract like the key points of it. And I find that useful. Like I actually upgraded to pay for that. Which I think ultimately with any of these things, it's like, what are people actually willing to pay for? Because that's where you know that it actually is creating value. And so I tend to, when I'm looking at my own behavior, I try to look at the things, not that I find interesting, but the things I actually am willing to pay for and use that as a filter.
Same here. Same here. That's a good strategy.
Microsoft Clarity is another really interesting one where, are you familiar with Microsoft Clarity?
Very much. We have been using that a lot in our customer cases for the past few years. So we used to love Lucky Orange. Lucky Orange was great, but not that much fun of the new user interface. Then back in the day, everybody used Hotjar, but Hotjar wasn't that good fit with Shopify out of the box. But these days, I think like quite many are using Hotjar or Clarity. Personally, I love Clarity. I think it's a very well-built product. And our customers love it in most cases due to the fact that it's GDPR friendly and it's super easy to implement. So they have been pretty happy with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. That makes sense. Like I actually hadn't even heard of it until recently, I guess when they added that, we'll call it the GPT-4P or the open, GPT-4, where like it would summarize essentially the screen recordings of people's user journeys.
Yep.
That was really interesting. Yeah. Any other, I guess, of the things we've been talking about, what else is top of mind for you?
Well, definitely, like, I think the last thing that I could bring up is that there are two types of players on the market. These are these digital native vertical brands, which we have discussed, that for whom Shopify is actually life and death. So much of the turnover comes straight directly, whether they are selling online or they are using Shopify POS or similar system in stores or pop-ups. But anyway, it's like direct sales. And then the second breed is more of these like enterprise level players who are entering the market, typically with pretty massive like marketing budgets, and they are like willing to take their share. What we've also seen is that it's not definitely that easy to operate in Europe in comparison to US. So we've had some global cases and we see that it's much easier when you have a single market, single language, single currency in comparison to Europe. Yet what Shopify announced is the Shopify Markets, and it's actually a functionality that quite many of our customers are using, which makes it sort of like levels the market up. And in the future, you can have like a single Shopify storefront, which you can use in multiple markets. But if I look at all the customers, I think like some are kind of struggling a lot at this moment. So it's sort of a stress test that if you are really wishing to push in D2C, I see that some are doing better than ever, even this kind of a situation. And then some are somewhere in between. And they are not quite sure that how much should they push with that. But typically, we do calculate value for data. That it's your value is much more than your turnover online, but data has also some type of value. And we can sort of like present that value. And then they're like, oh my, so one customer can be like valued $50 or $100 or even $1,000 to me. If you know how to use the customer data and if you know what you actually want to have from that customer, and if you are willing to have that dialogue going with the customers, then you can gain much, much more value. I see tons of these programs where you're actually aiming towards that the paid membership. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, that's going to new categories as well, as example, fashion. Mm-hmm. So I remember the wine clubs and I remember that it's been heavy in beauty and a few other categories, but now it's definitely entering the new categories as well. And it will be super interesting to see how that actually works, what the future will bring.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think part of that even too is it's this idea that people don't just want to subscribe to products. They want to get value on top of, we'll call it the replenishment piece. It's always been true, but it's even more pronounced now that COVID restrictions are down. Like people are traveling. It's not enough just to get more product. So what you said makes complete sense to me. And it's funny because a lot of these models have been around, even paid memberships have been around for a long time. And like, yeah, the wine clubs, Italic was one of the early sites that had a paid membership piece. I mean, obviously Amazon Prime, Costco is like the boring OG example.
The ultimate one, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's what is old is new again.
Yeah.
But it's relevant now, I think, in part because people are having so many subscriptions too, like in their digital life, whether it's media, like the amount of bundling and unbundling is insane. Now, what was it, like HBO Max has now become Max, which is a combination of Discovery Plus and HBO Max. It's like, my mind is, it's like really hard. It's really fractured now, but I digress. Hey man, I really appreciate you coming on the show. One of the questions I like to ask at the end is, do you have a big ask that you could put out into the universe? Like something that would transform your life or your business?
Well, as I travel a lot, but as I'm first and foremost European, I would definitely hope that the war in Ukraine would end sort of like the world would be a peaceful and normal place that would actually help the individuals or the economies and make people much happier. So that would be my big wish for tonight.
It's a really nice one. And not so, I mean, I guess when I typically think of that, I think about it in a selfish way, but no, I mean, thank you for saying that. Cool. Anything that I have not said that you want to bring up before we say goodbye?
No, it's been great. So if you want to know more about Woolman, woolman.co, we hit our website. We are one of the biggest agencies globally, top rated. We do data. We are one of the rare one-stop shops, which means that we also do private apps, consultation, integrations, and all of that part. But Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. And where can people, if they want to connect with you directly, where should they go?
I'm super, super active on LinkedIn. So that's my to-go platform. So feel free to message me anytime there and I'll definitely reply.
Yeah. And maybe you'll even run into that person within 5 minutes on the ground of Shop Talk.
Might happen.
Crazier things have happened. Well, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you coming on.
Great. Thank you.